in a world that gets more mysterious every day, where government conspiracies and cover-ups are the norm, you need a beacon of truth. You need the Paranormal Patriot. You know, one would think that I would eventually run out of viruses that I can contract here in Michigan. This has been ridiculous this year. Since Thanksgiving, I have been literally sick almost every day of the week. I might get a week reprieve, but it is just an ongoing issue that I cannot break. I do apologize. I missed last week again, but I came back from Florida feeling great. The sun, the warmth, it just did wonders for my body. And Tuesday, midday at work, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm really not feeling well. And by the time the end of the day came and I got home, I hurt. My body ached. I had chest pains. I was hacking up a lung, had a fever, then going into the chills. Would be sitting there sweating and then all of a sudden start shaking uncontrollably. And that had gone on for well over a week and a half. I'm still not 100%. You would think that I would eventually just run out of things I could catch. But apparently that is not the case. Again, I was so frustrated because I came back from Florida feeling so well. Out of the 11 of us that went to Florida, 10 became sick. There are still people very, very sick. My in-laws have pneumonia now. The only one that didn't get sick is my wife, and I have no idea why. I tried to give it to her, but it didn't work. My thought is, why should she miss out on all this fun? Apparently, she did not want to have that much fun. So anyway, I am back. I'm feeling a little better. But just as a warning, you may hear the occasional hacking up a lung. You may hear me snort and sniffle like Donald Trump, and you may hear the unexplained bodily function that even I may be not able to explain, but I will try to edit those out as I can. But if I'm in the middle of an epic rant, you're going to hear it, and I apologize in advance. So again, I'm here this week, and I'm here with news. News for you that may affect us all. And I will ask the question to my listeners, are we on the verge of a major global conflict, or will it blow over and be blown out of proportion, and will yours truly, again, be labeled a fearmonger? It's been a while since I've been called the fearmonger, and it's about time I start living up to the hype. So when we come back, I will discuss with you where we may be heading. And that may be a possible collision course to disaster. This is Tom Velasquez, and you are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. Okay, so this is the part of the show where I go and give a little promotion to some business or some organization that supports the Paranormal Patriot. I'm going to forego that this week. I'm going to give you, I guess I'd call it my own public service announcement. This past week, last Saturday to be exact, I lost a friend of mine. I worked with this guy. We figured about 8 years I worked, and he was a phenomenal human being. He was a great husband, a terrific father, would coach his kids' basketball, baseball, softball teams, would go to his daughter's gymnastics, and out of the blue, they say some people just snap, and he just snapped. He drove his family vehicle into the house and literally just lost his mind and never was the same person again. And he went in and he got some help, but it didn't seem to help. We brought him back to work. But unfortunately, he was never the same person. You could tell he was fighting demons, but he was trying his best to put him aside for his family and for his career as a mechanic. And it finally got to the point where he couldn't do it, and he was no longer able to be employed. This past Saturday, this individual, this friend of mine, we'll just call him Chris, ended up taking his own life. He leaves behind a wife and two young children, ages 12 and 10. And it really hit home with me how much mental illness affects every one of us. We all know somebody that has struggled with mental illness. And, you know, we deal with them on a daily basis, and I can be guilty of it. I deal with the public. And if you've dealt with the public, you know there are some very, very strange people that populate this planet. And we look at them and we're like, man, that person's crazy. But this whole incident with Chris made me realize that instead of mocking these people who may have mental illness and trying to avoid them, maybe we need to start embracing them. I spent all last week thinking, would the outcome have been different if somebody would have just said, Chris, let's talk. Let's get to the bottom of this. But there were too many people that were too worried about his craziness, as they put it. He's crazy. He's off the deep end. There are people that knew him for 20, 30 years that all they remember is the mental illness side of him. And I said, why do we want to remember the mental illness? Why don't we remember Chris as he was before his demons took over? If you know somebody that is struggling with bipolar condition or syndrome, that is struggling with schizophrenia or some type of mental illness, do yourself a favor and do that person a favor and just be there for them. Talk to them. There was a time when I talked to him, but he was so out there. He knew he had a medical condition, and he would go online. And we know how the medical field is online. If you have a cold, you're going to die. The symptoms say, yes, you're going to die. So he would go online, and he would constantly say, I don't have much longer to live. And he would fight it. He would fight. He'd lose sleep. He wouldn't. I remember a time when he was just standing there like a zombie. I'm like, are you all right, Chris? It's like, Tom, I haven't been to sleep in 72 hours. And rather than help him, I said, well, why don't you go take a nap? Rather than get to the bottom of why he hadn't gone to bed in 72 hours, my only response was, well, get some sleep. Not thinking that he can't get some sleep. His mind is racing 10,000 miles a minute. So if you know somebody with some type of mental illness, take the time to talk to them, because you never know, that one conversation may be the difference between life and death. I've asked myself that question all week. Could I have talked to him more? Is there something I could have said that would have made him say, you're right? I will never know, and his family will never know, because I didn't give him that opportunity. I looked at him as, man, this guy's going off the deep end, rather than try and help him. I will take that to my grave. That's a guilt on me. But I am also vowing that anyone with any type of mental illness will get my undivided attention. And you need to join me in giving anyone with any type of mental illness that undivided attention to make sure that they know that they are not alone. There are people there that want to help them. We have a huge epidemic of mental illness in this country that all we want to do is prescribe antidepressants. Antidepressants are not the issue. It may be just something as simple as you sitting down and talking to them. This has been my public service announcement for you. We all know someone with mental illness. Let's help them out before it gets to the point where Chris got, where he couldn't fight his demons anymore. And he decided to take his own life to relieve himself of that pain. The fact that he had a wife and two kids, the pain overwhelmed that. The fact that it was his birthday on the day he committed suicide trumped that. We need to be on the forefront. And you can tell me science and medicine has all the answers. All you're doing is masking the problem. People are the answer. Be that person. Help someone struggling. Because we may think we know what they're going through, but unless we've been there, we have no clue. So do yourself and do that person and that person's family a favor. And just be there for them. Chris, my friend, rest in peace. I hope all your demons have been vanquished. This has been your public service announcement from the Paranormal Patriot. All in my purple life, I've been looking for a dream. That would want to be my wife. That was my intention. Welcome back to the Paranormal Patriot, Chris Ozanich. Rest in peace, my brother. So, at the end of the last show, before the Brian Maddow Awards, I posed a question to my listeners as to their thoughts of the U.S. bombing of a Syrian airstrip. Now, I knew this would be a divisive question. I got a ton, and I mean a ton of responses on this, and I counted them, and they were dead center 50-50. Half of the people were fully against the bombing of the Syrian airstrip, while the other half were completely for it. And there is my dilemma. And that's when I mentioned on the show, I don't know what to think about this. Regardless of who launched the chemical attack, some type of response had to occur. We just cannot let that go like the former administration did. You can't allow rebels, the Syrian government, ISIS, you can't allow them to use chemical weapons. It's just not going to happen. However, I want nothing to do with Syria because of the consequences that may ensue. And this was exactly my dilemma. I didn't know where to stand on it. And as I'm reading these responses, I'm reading the responses against the bombing, and I'm like, yeah, they make complete sense. You know, I'm against it. But then I'd read the responses for the bombing, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, they make complete sense. I agree with bombing. And I'm no farther along than where I was during the show the last time we were on the air. I still don't have an opinion on it because I don't know. I don't want to get involved in Syria. Donald Trump told his followers during the campaign that we were not going to be involved in Syria. And I believed him. Do I hold it against him? No. Because, again, somebody has got to show these people that they can't get away with that. But on top of that, soon after, our military unleashed the mother of all bombs, the MOAB they released against ISIS in Afghanistan. However, the outcry after this military action was much less divided. Most people accepted and agreed that this military action was well-deserved. Now, the MOAB is a bunker-busting bomb, the largest non-nuclear deployment in human history. Now, at last word, 96 ISIS militants and zero civilian casualties were reported. Now, this is not a bomb per se that hits the ground and explodes. This is a bomb that explodes at a certain point that they predetermine above the ground. And it literally, the bomb sucks all the air out of the area. So these 96 ISIS fighters that perished during this bombing either suffocated, they had the air sucked right out of them, or the concussive blast destroyed their insides. The MOAB, mother of all bombs, has a blast radius of up to a mile square around the blast site. So anybody that was within a mile of that is dead. And I have no problems with that. I feel much more comfortable reporting on this military action than I did on the Syrian military action. Now, for the past 8 years, the country watched as our leader made excuses after excuses after excuses and tried to humanize ISIS, or who they called ISIL, because that was less defamatory. We, the people of America, but more importantly, our military, now know that America and America's military are back. We are not going to idly sit by as ISIS ravages Europe and ravages Africa and ravages Great Britain and makes significant strides in this country. We have made a stand. We have told the American people that this stops and this stops now. But what I did is I found an analogy that I believe perfectly illustrates the current state of America and where it finds itself today. Now, I don't know what movie it is from, and I don't really care. It's from Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken is an actor who I really enjoy. Some people think this guy is batshit crazy, and he may be, but he's a really good actor. If you've never seen the Saturday Night Live skit with the cowbell, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type in Christopher Walken SNL cowbell. It is hilarious. But regardless, this analogy sums up exactly what America has been doing. So I'm going to play it for you, and then we'll discuss it. So again, this is from Christopher Walken. If anybody knows the movie, please let me know because I didn't even get that far into it. Christopher Walken, Analogy of America.
Look at this lion. He's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out there. He's laying down under a tree in the middle of Africa. He's so big. He's so hot. He doesn't want to move. Now, the little lion cubs, they start messing with him. Biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. The lioness, she starts messing with him, coming over, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they notice this, and they start to move in. The jackals, hyenas, They're barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat the food that's in his domain. They do this, and they get closer and closer and bolder, till one day, that lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
The lion has to show the jackals who he is. That's where we are now. So America is, of course, the lion in this clip. The cubs that are nipping at his toes and biting at his tail, they could be described as the snowflakes. They could be described as the never-Trumpers. Or they could even be described as the pro-Trumpers. In other words, they are the general discourse encompassing this country. Now the lioness that jumped in and started biting on the lion, she can be described as the political system, which is the divide between both parties. The inability to compromise and get anything done because both parties are unwilling and unable to compromise. Now the jackals and hyenas, well, they're ISIS and the North Koreas of the plains. They have watched the infighting throughout this country, and they have listened to the red lines in the sand rhetoric that has been nothing but words. They see the lion sitting and doing nothing while he's being nipped and bitten, and they believe the lion is now weak. So they antagonize the lion, steal his food without fear of reprisal. They look at it as they are able to, in modern-day terms, propagandize, send out videos of North Korea bombing and nuking the United States. And they do this without fear of reprisal because for the last 8 years, the lion has just been laying under a tree because he's hot. He doesn't want to do anything. And he looks at all of this discourse and he looks at all of this infighting and how America is now weak. He looks at America as being less than the king of the jungle. But when they least expect it, the lion springs to life. He bombs Syrian airports, and he's destroying ISIS strongholds, then reasserts his rightful place as king of the jungle. We, right now in America, we are now that lion. We have been picked on, we have been picked at, and we have been looked upon as weak on the world stage. But now the lion whose name is America, is now awake. We have now shown the world that we are ready to reassert our dominance. We have told the world that you are not going to kill our soldiers without fear of reprisal. You are not going to gas your people without fear of reprisal. Ronald Reagan won the Cold War because he overspent. He outspent the Russians in a term that has been called peace through strength. We had more of a military than Russia. We outspent them. We bankrupted Russia. We are now at the point where the North Koreas of the world, the ISISes of the world, are going to think twice before they pull some little stunt. Because now they're going to say, we might die. And we might die a horrible death of suffocation or concussive injuries. Because America, the lion, he ain't playing anymore. Those last 8 years, those were a fluke. We had a president in here that wanted to capitulate. He wanted to just brush that red line in the sand away. Pretend it never happened. But this president, he doesn't even want to deal with it. He says to the military, do what you think is best. In our military, which is the most powerful military in the world, now has the handcuffs removed. They are here now to protect us where they were not able to before. Do you realize in combat, they could not fire on the enemy until they were fired upon? So they could watch that enemy plant that IED for the next convoy coming in, but they could not do anything about it. This president, who trusts our military to the point that he says, just do what you think is right, is now doing more to protect the American people than the former administration has done over the last 8 and even 16 years. I don't know about you, but that is a very uplifting feeling. I feel more secure now than I have in ages. However, that's not the only issue we have. So we've established that America is again leading the way on the war on terror. However, again, that's not the only front demanding America's attention. We had the psychotic little leader from North Korea who seems to think that he has a fighting chance in a fight with America. Propaganda, posturing, and a general hyena or jackal behavior is his calling card. ICBM tests, nuclear detonations, as well as claims that they can attack America with nuclear-tipped ICBMs, have some on edge. Right now, Hawaii has drills going on preparing themselves for a nuclear detonation from North Korea. Right now, Australia is being threatened by North Korea, saying if they do not stop supporting the United States, they will be in the crosshairs of a nuclear detonation. Japan is in the crosshairs of a nuclear detonation. Russia, China, Japan, and the U.S. have all informed the leader to tone down the rhetoric. But that has been to no avail. So when we come back, I want to talk to you, my listeners, about my thoughts on what would happen if North Korea had the audacity to launch a nuclear warhead and detonate it on American soil. We will be right back, and when we come back, you will hear my thoughts of what the beginnings of World War III would look like. I may sound like a fearmonger in the next segment. However, I am a big proponent or big fan of being prepared. I would rather be prepared for World War III than surprised. So here is my thoughts coming up after the break on what a potential nuclear detonation by North Korea would look like. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot, and we will be right back. All right. For all my listeners, I have a request and a favor to ask of you. The Paranormal Patriot is on the verge of skyrocketing, catapulting to the next level. But I need you, my listener, to help me out and get me to that point. So if you are on Facebook, if you are on Minds, if you are on Twitter, any social media site I post on, please share the show and tell everyone you know about the Paranormal Patriot. That is what's going to help propel us to the next level. And I have all of my listeners to thank. So again, please share the show. Go to Stitcher, go to Podbean, go to, I don't know, iHeartRadio, go to iTunes, go to Podcastic, any site that you listen to, and give the Paranormal Patriot a comment. Tell everybody how much you love listening to the Paranormal Patriot on, well, for the most part, a weekly basis. Any help you can give me, I would greatly appreciate it. I can't pay you financially. I can just say to you, thank you. And know in your heart of hearts that you have helped propel the Paranormal Patriot to the next level. So again, any social media site that you have that the Paranormal Patriot frequents, share the page. Any website, any podcasting site, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anything like that, comment on that. Tell everybody you know to comment. I need more comments to get that website up and running and on to the next level. So thank you in advance. I appreciate it. Do what you can to help out the Paranormal Patriot. So North Korea, the impoverished little communist country who is run by a 33-year-old fat little crazy leader. They are posturing and they are out there with the rhetoric and the propaganda stating that they can nuke the mainland of the United States. However, most of their launches are not. Yeah, we'll say they're not doing so well. But let's just say that they, with the help of others, most notably Iran, have developed an intercontinental ballistic missile that is capable of reaching the mainland United States. Let's just say that they get a bug up their behind and decide, yep, we're going to launch it. What is going to happen? Well, first off, based on the technology that we know the North Koreans have, the most logical choice for a nuclear missile is going to be coming either A, out of a submarine, or B, most probably off of a boat that is off of the coast of the Pacific Ocean. In my opinion, an EMP is the most logical choice for the Koreans, the North Koreans, to launch on this country. Now, some people may say, North Korea just launching an EMP. Oh, well. Keep in mind, a North Korean nuclear missile launch that explodes above, let's say, Kansas, would render 85% of this country back to the Stone Age. All of our electrical grids, all of our electrical systems that are not shielded would be destroyed. I personally do not want to go back to the 1800s. I was not alive in the 1800s. I've done quite a bit of reading and research on what life was like in the 1800s. And, well, I don't want to be killed being run over by a horse-drawn carriage. But keep in mind that let's say they are located in the Pacific Ocean, right off the coast of California, and they launch this missile. We will be able to respond. The United States has anti-missile defense systems that will possibly and probably intercept that missile. But do we think that that's going to be the end of it? Oh, you lost, you missed, haha. On to the next day. No, that's not going to happen. At that point, the U.S. and Japan, who are our allies in this, because Japan, as I said before, is in the crosshairs, we will weigh a possible preemptive strike. Because, of course, the best defense is a good offense. And according to foreign policy analysts, that decision might not even involve a phone call from President Trump, because, again, President Trump has just basically given free rein to the military. According to foreign military analysts, that decision is going to ultimately come down to the military. The military will have the final say as to how they respond to a U.S. or a North Korean strike against the United States. Now, of course, the U.S. is going to try and deflect this missile. That is a 50-50 endeavor at best. So let's just say, for sake of argument, that the North Koreans get lucky and they strike an American city. You can be rest assured that the United States will respond with their own nuclear barrage. Now, the United States and Japan in this area are huge allies, because the Japanese, they know they are in the crosshairs of a North Korean missile. So they will weigh heavily with the United States the options. Now, let's say the North Koreans shoot a missile off. It's picked up by the United States, and it's deflected. It gets blown up in the sky. No problems. Maybe some secondary issues. Maybe some fires in the forest from the debris from the missile. Big deal. But that doesn't take out the fact that the North Koreans tried to nuke the United States. So the United States then has to weigh their options. And again, with the way the military is, the way Japan, and keep in mind, if the North Koreans go and fire on the United States and it fails, where do you think the next strike's going? Japan. So Japan is going to weigh heavily with the United States in giving their input. And I can pretty much guarantee you that that input will be wipe them off the face of the earth. So the United States and Japan ready their nuclear payload to drop devastation on North Korea. But then we've got to figure in China. China does not want a second Korean War. So they will do everything they can diplomatically to stop the United States and Japanese from firing these nuclear missiles. And again, if it's 50-50 at that point, that's pretty high odds that they will not fire. At this point, the American people, through the propaganda, the military-industrial complex, they are going to be inundated with propaganda stating why we should nuke North Korea. So the people will be behind the nuking of these innocent people that have nothing to do. They're just following the brainwashing that they've been given by Kim Jong-il. I think that's his name. I don't know. He's crazy. So North Korea will sit there, and they will be waiting for our response, going, oh, shit. Now we're screwed. Because they don't have a missile defense system capable of knocking out our nukes, Japanese nukes, and probably South Korean nukes. But then there's the third player in this, fourth player, depending on how you look at it, Russia. Russia does not want another Korean War. When you weigh all of these factors into it, it doesn't turn out to be so easy. They may have tried to nuke the United States. They may or may not have been successful. But at this point, do you respond? Because if you respond, you not only bring China into it, but you bring Russia into it. But at this point, if we ever get to this point, I believe with my heart of hearts that we will respond. We really don't have any choice but to respond. We can't allow a country to try and nuke our country without any type of military response. And what's the biggest military response we have? Well, we could drop a Moab on there, the mother of all bombs. We could bomb the living daylights out of these people. Yes. I think that would be the first. I really don't think that Donald Trump is going to say nuke them. I just don't. I don't think Donald Trump is going to allow that. Yes, he is allowing his military to call the shots. But I think he'll rein it in and say, we don't want this. We would be in a situation where North Korea is in a war that they can't win. They just can't win because they don't have enough support. People realize that North Korea is essentially run by a crazy dictator at this point. They've got the Chinese and the Russians, the biggest military powers in the world, as well as the United States, against them. So if they are against them, they're not going to win this conflict. Right now, you've got the United States and South Korea right on the border. And everybody thinks, oh, they just crossed the border, take over the country, everything's fine. It's not that easy. The North Korean military is pretty, well, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not a pushover. Yes, they're just one country, and they are in the face of five other countries out to set them straight, but they're no pushover. So any war in Korea is going to be a bloody, and it's going to cause a lot of casualties on both sides. The problem is the dictator, the little leader in this country, has no regard for his people. So he will do anything he can to retain power. And if that means nuking South Korea, nuking Australia, nuking Japan, he'll do it. So the question I have is, how many casualties, how many innocent people are going to die before this gets resolved? I've talked to many people at work about this and outside of work about what the current situation on this planet is. Are we heading towards World War III? And of course, you know, oh my gosh, Tom, we're not going to World War III. It's not going to happen. And I've had some people who listen to the show say, hey, Tom, you're being a fearmonger again. Yeah, it's been a while. Good to hear it. Be it what it may, I've talked to people that have lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis. And to a person, they have said that this reminds them to a T exactly what the Cuban Missile Crisis was about back then in the 60s. We are at a crossroads. We don't want to go into Syria, but we're going to Syria. We are in Syria. I have contacts that are in the military that listen to this show that constantly let me know, Tom, we're there. Don't let anybody tell you we're not there. Now, we are right on the edge of sending troops, more troops, to the Korean Peninsula. Because that's the next battleground. Right now, we have Russian bombers that for 4 or 5 days in a row have entered Alaskan airspace. Just taunting, poking the bear, seeing what happens. We've responded by scrambling jets. But that's not a fight we want to get into. We need to decide if and when we get into a conflict with North Korea, and this has got to, we cannot continue to just let this little dictator just do what he wants. We've got to put him down. We've got to show him who's boss. But before we do that, we've got to decide and we've got to determine what side the Russians are going to be on. Because right now, the Russian and the Chinese are a pretty formidable foe. And if we are on the wrong side of them, I don't know if we can win. This is a fight that we may or may not want to get into. And again, I'm back to my Syrian airstrip bombing phase. I don't know what to believe. Do we tell North Korea and show them we're the boss, we're the lion? Or do we run the risk of them trying to bomb Japan, Australia, Hawaii, or the mainland west coast of the United States? The outlook of World War III right now, according to what I've talked to people and what I've done research on, is greater now than any time before the 1960s. We are at that point. The difference is, it's not just Russia and the United States. It's Russia, the United States, China, Japan, North Korea, South Korea, Australia, Great Britain, everybody. More players are involved. And when you add more players, the risk of one of those players doing something stupid increases. Now the question remains, who's going to be that player that does something stupid that starts World War III? Let me know where you stand on this. Are we on the edge of World War III, or is yours truly being a fearmonger once again? Let me know where you stand, because I am so curious to find out. When we come back, you knew it was coming. We've got this week's recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. Last week, I listened to, or I should say the last show, I listened, as I called it, the Brian Moody Award. And I felt like Sean Spicer. How could I totally misspeak on that? I apologize. It's not the Brian Moody Award. It's the Brian Maddow Award. So, coming up, you will listen to this week's this week's recipient, glorified winner of the Brian Maddow Award. We will be right back. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. All right, so the breaks on this show are all about you, the listener, and your interaction with the show. I need to know what you're doing to promote the Paranormal Patriot outside of listening to the show. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that I have listeners that are fully engaged in this show, that listen to it every single week. But what are you doing to promote the show? Let me know. Tell me. I'm sharing it on Facebook. I'm sharing it on Twitter. I'm telling all my friends about it. If we have a house party, I'm playing the Paranormal Patriot in the background. But on top of that, what ideas do you, my listeners, have to help promote this show? I'm looking for input from my listeners on this show. And this is where you need to stand up and make your voice heard. Tell me what you would do to help promote this show to take it to the next level. Because as I said before, we are right on the cusp of going to the next level. And I need you, my listeners, to help take me there. So what would you do, and what are you going to do, and what have you done to take this show to the next level? Let me know. Contact me at www.theparanormalpatriot@zoho.com. That's my email address. You can contact me via Facebook at The Paranormal Patriot, via Twitter at The Parapatriot, or contact me on Minds.com by just messaging me at The Paranormal Patriot. Let me know what you are going, have, and will do to help me take this show to the next level. And again, I cannot provide you any financial windfall, but what I can do is I can take you along for the ride. Do what you can to help the Paranormal Patriot. It's time. It's time for the Brian Maddow Awards. As you know, every week the Paranormal Patriot finds someone, be it a journalist, be it a celebrity, be it a politician, or an everyday citizen, someone that deserves the Brian Maddow Award. Someone who goes above and beyond the realm of lack of common sense. Someone who takes their own ideas and fashions them as their own. Someone who is so out of touch with reality. Someone who has a vaulted place in the realm of fake news. Someone who takes liberalism to new heights. Someone who you look at and just look at them and go, what? Those are the recipients of the Brian Maddow Award. We now take you on location live to Owosso, Michigan for this week's Brian Maddow Award. And I thank you, Tom. This week's recipient of the Brian Maddow Award is near and dear to my heart. I have been dealing with this pinhead for the last 12 years, listening to his liberal rhetoric, having him spew out non-existent facts. Well, those non-existent facts have now come back to haunt you. It brings me great, and I mean great pride, to give you this week's recipient of the Brian Maddow Award. This week's winner is, drumroll please, none other than Lansing, Michigan Mayor Virge Bonaro. He's here? That's actually him walking up? Stop him! I don't want him on stage. I can't stand that guy. No. I will accept it for him. Absolutely. Just grab him. I don't care if he fights you. Just get him out of here. What? What? We're live right now? Hey, everybody! Virge Bonaro can't make it here today. He's got important business in Lansing, maybe. But I will accept the Brian Maddow Award on his behalf. And let me tell you, he definitely earned this award because he went and declared Lansing, Michigan, the capital of Michigan, as a sanctuary city. He signed an executive order stating that Lansing, Michigan would be all welcoming to all illegal immigrants, even though on Joe Pags. On Joe Pags' show, he could not and would not call illegal immigrants illegal. He stated that they would be welcome in Lansing, Michigan, that their constituents wanted Lansing to be a sanctuary city. However, a week later, this happened. Oh, but they did. They thought a lot about illegal immigration. You took it upon yourself on Joe Pag's show and Tucker Carlson, a nationally syndicated show, to say that the people of Lansing and the businesses of Lansing fully supported your executive order proclaiming Lansing, Michigan as a sanctuary city. Therefore, throwing out and throwing away the possibility of federal funding because you declared yourself as a sanctuary city. You said all of your citizens, the majority, were supportive of this. However, once the citizens had their voice, you were slapped in the face and shown that you had no idea what the citizens of your district, of your city, really wanted. You took upon yourself to take your own principles, your own feelings, and thrust them on the citizens of your city. Well, the citizens had fought back, and they told you, we do not want Lansing as a sanctuary city. So therefore, the city council had voted to rescind your executive order. You may sit here and you may say that the citizens and the city council are on two different pages. But it's the citizens that you were elected to represent. Your feelings and your beliefs are not on the table. Your feelings and your beliefs are to be put on the back burner. Your constituents, the people of your city, they have spoken and they have shown you to be a pawn for the democratic way. You have no regard for the people of your city. All you care about are your beliefs and the democratic beliefs. Well, you have just been shown that the people are mightier than you. But when confronted on this, on Tucker Carlson, you came back. You came back with the most asinine response I have ever heard.
It's easy for white men like us to say that, who are in the majority, who enjoy what we enjoy.
And then this.
That's your perspective. Try to walk in another man's shoes, though. Walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
I thought you believed in laws.
So when confronted and shown how ridiculous your thoughts and your executive action was, what do? You throw the race card. And for that, I have no other option than to present you with the Brian Maddow Award. I hope, beyond hope, that you look at this award as one of the major milestones of your political career, because let me tell you, I don't hate many politicians as much as I hate you. You went on national TV and told the nation that the people of Lansing, Michigan supported your executive action, that the businesses supported your executive action. And then, when the businesses and the people of Lansing, Michigan came out a week later and said, we don't support this, and the city council rejects your executive order, what do? You throw out the race card. That's a special kind of stupid, Mayor Monero. And with that, I will take this award and I will mail it to you. And I sincerely hope that this is one of the defining accomplishments of your political career. Because as I will look back on your career, all I will see is a political shill doing exactly what the Democratic Party wants done for them. And seeing someone who is more than happy to take that and run with it for the gain of his party, not the gain of the citizens he was chosen to represent. You are a special kind of stupid. But I appreciate you being here wanting to accept this award, but I can't stand the sight of your face, so I'll accept it for you. So with that, I send it back to the Paranormal Patriot Studios. This has been your host of the Brian Maddow Awards, Tom Velasquez. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you so much, Tom. Another great performance. I would ask you next week, don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel. So that'll be the show today for the Paranormal Patriot. Again, let me know what you are going to do to help promote the Paranormal Patriot. The Paranormal Patriot at Zoho.com, the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook and Minds, and the Parapatriot on Twitter. If you listen or do anything on any other social website, promote the Paranormal Patriot. I greatly appreciate it. For everything you guys have done, I say thank you. I appreciate you being patient while I get through this sickness. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot, and we will be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Also, drop me a line. Just let me know how you're doing. The Paranormal Patriot at Zoho.com.